Heavenly Father, we thank you once again on this Christmas morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he left his glory to come and be with us, and we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and teach us this morning to hold anew the wonder of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, of course, is the day where Christians all over the world celebrate the birth of God's glorious King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of a new king is a big deal. Consider the birth of an earthly king. When Prince George, the future king of England, and for what it's worth, the future king of Australia as well, when George was born 2 years ago, the world's media and crowds of thousands of people were gathered outside St. Mary's Hospital in London, where Princess Kate was undergoing labour, just waiting for the announcement of the birth of their new king, and probably more to the point, waiting to find out what his name was and if he was a boy or a girl. And when George was born, a royal herald drove from Buckingham Palace to the hospital, and he was dressed in full regalia, and with great fanfare, he went up to the steps of the hospital, as we saw before, and flanked by two policemen, he cried out in a great voice to the media and to all the crowd waiting. He said, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. On this day, we welcome with humble duty a future king, the firstborn of the Royal Highness, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, the third in line to the throne. May he be long-lived, happy, and glorious, and one day reign over us. God save the Queen." And the crowds applauded, and there was cheers, and everyone was very happy. And it seems, even in a constitutional monarchy with democratic parliament and a ceremonial monarchy, there is still a touch of glory surrounding the birth of a king. Jesus, God's King of Kings, is the most glorious king who ever was or is to come. Again and again, the Bible attributes glory to him. In Revelation, there's this wonderful scene where all the powers of heaven fall down and worship Jesus. And they cry out to him, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." In our Philippians reading that we had before, St. Paul, who wrote the letter, he says that Jesus was God in his very nature. So when Jesus, God's King of Kings, who is far more glorious than any earthly king, and who is also God in the flesh, when he came to earth at that first Christmas, what kind of reception should have we expected for this glorious king? Well, probably not the one that he actually got. Jesus was not born in a palace. He was not born in a castle. He wasn't born like an earthly king. He wasn't surrounded by the elite or the wealthy or the influential when he came. Rather, when God came to us in Jesus, he came gently and he came in great humility. Jesus was born in the small town of Bethlehem, laid in a manger, which is just a feeding trough for animals. And he was first received by ordinary people like shepherds. In the words of our Philippians reading, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. At Christmas, Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to come in humility to be with us human beings on earth. And Jesus' ministry was one of humble service. And it ended with his humiliating death by torture to death on a cross. In Jesus' own words, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And as Paul in Philippians puts it, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. But why? Why did this glorious King of Heaven leave heaven and come down to earth to be with us human beings in our broken world? In a sense, Jesus was following us human beings. He was following our own fall from glory. Human beings were created in God's glorious image. What sets us apart from the rest of creation, from the animals and from everything else, is that we were designed to bear God's image. And in bearing God's image, we were designed to be close to God and to directly enjoy God's holiness and God's glory in his close face-to-face presence. There's a beautiful image in the Bible story of the Garden of Eden, where God would regularly meet with the first human beings in the cool of the evening. He would come to them and they would walk in the garden together and he would just talk with them, like kind of like a father talks to his children, and they would enjoy fellowship face to face. And like this, the first human beings lived in God's glorious presence. But following the temptation of the devil, human beings rebelled against God and we were corrupted and marred by our sin. From that point on, we no longer perfectly bore God's image. All human beings are still made in the image of God, but it's been corrupted. It's been marred. There's a fly in the ointment. And we are no longer fit to be directly in God's glorious presence. And so we were cast out of the Garden of Eden and we were cast out of the presence of God. And we no longer enjoyed fellowship with God. But at Christmas, hope returns to human beings and hope returns to the world. Because Jesus, who is God in the flesh, left his eternal glory and came in humility to us in our fallen humanity. The ultimate aim of Jesus was to glorify God's people by restoring within us the perfect image of God. As Paul says in another place in the Bible, in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, he says that for those God foreknew, i.e. God's people, God predestined them to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's Jesus. So God came at Christmas so that he might rescue people from their sin at Easter and thus conform us to the likeness of Jesus, or in other words, restore within us the perfect image of God, so that we could again be fit to stand in God's holy and glorious presence and return to our first calling, which is simply to enjoy God and to know him face to face. In Christian theology, the technical word for this process is glorification. And it's the end game of what Jesus started on Christmas Day. As Paul goes on in Romans chapter 8, he says that those God predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Well, what will it be like to again enjoy face-to-face knowledge of the glory of God? Well, I'm sure I have no idea. But the Bible does use a number of images to describe it. It says it'll be like pure light in which there is no darkness. It'll be like a wedding feast. It'll be like a treasure made up of the richest gems beyond any price. It'll be like an inheritance of a grand house and a grand estate. It'll be like a garden full of fruit-bearing trees that are always in season. It'll be like a place for you within a royal priesthood and a royal kingdom. And it will be like an eternal rest, free of sin and toil and sickness and evil. This is what God re-offers to humanity on Christmas Day in Jesus Christ. A return to our true home, a return to what we were created to do. That's what we commonly call heaven. And this work of Jesus Christ to restore us to glory, it actually brings even more glory to Jesus. He was glorious in the beginning, and this work of restoring us brings him even more glory, and more glory to God, and more glory than any earthly king or anyone on earth could ever imagine. As our Philippians reading says, because of Jesus' humble work on earth, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The ultimate purpose of Christmas was the glory of God. At Christmas, Jesus left the glory of heaven and came to earth in humility to glorify his people by restoring them into God's perfect image, so that we could again share in the eternal glory of God, and also in turn by showing the world the multitudes of his rich grace and mercy and power, that his name would be further glorified forevermore. So where does this leave us now on this Christmas morning? Christians proclaim that Jesus Christ will soon return to earth. But this time, he will come in the fullness of the glory and of the power of God. He will end all evil and injustice, but he will also judge all human beings, both the living and the dead. And this is something that should fill us with humility. If we consider the moral state of the world that we human beings have together built, and if we're honest, and if we consider our own moral state. So what should we do? How should we get ready for this coming of God's glorious King? Well, now, in this time in our earthly lives, on earth where Jesus did come to be with us in humility, we should entrust ourselves to God's humble King. As the Bible says in John's Gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Cry out to Jesus in faith, receive his offer of forgiveness of sin, and have the gift of his Holy Spirit, so that in the fullness of time, the perfect image of God will be restored within you. We can entrust ourselves to this gentle Jesus, born meek and mild on that first Christmas day, so that on the last day of judgment, when Jesus returns in glory, we may rise to eternal life and come home to live with him in his heavenly glory forever. Friends, I urge you to reconsider Jesus. What the Bible says is true. He came at Christmas and he died to save you from your sins. He loves you dearly, and if you trust him, he will bring you home to be with him in his glory. We have a number of New Testaments and Gospels for free outside in the foyer. If you haven't read the Bible for a long time as an adult, please do so. It's the word of living truth. If you have any questions about Jesus, please come to our Reason for God series, or our Introducing God series, or please just talk to Wayne or I or anyone else here. We would love to share the hope that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Merry Christmas, and may we pray. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came among us in great humility, that on that last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.